welcome to the first ever episode of the Between Clean Sheets podcast. My name is Cheyenne, and I've been creating content under the name Between Clean Sheets for almost 6 years now, always with the intention of showing others what it is like to be a fan of American soccer. I have created vlogs on YouTube, I'm on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and I've made plenty of guest appearances on other people's podcasts. Thing is, every time I travel from my home base of Washington, D.C. to another city to enjoy their local soccer culture, I have met and had amazing conversations with some of the most passionate and fascinating people that exist in this same space, whether that's current or former players, coaches, anyone who works in the front office of a team at any level of American soccer. All of these people, I have had the absolute joy and pleasure of learning from, of interacting with. And these are conversations I realized I want to share with you. So on the Between Clean Sheets podcast, that is exactly what I'm going to do. And as I get ready to intro my very first guest, who I'm very, very excited was willing to work with me, I do have to say that the devil works hard. I did come down with the nastiest sinus and ear infection combo that you can tell I'm still kind of getting over. And it struck me the evening this episode. Now, my guest was so incredibly patient, and at the end of it all, she told me the conversation was great. So I'm inclined to think that there was nothing about my voice or my dead-eyed look that kept her from participating in full and bringing it out for you, the listener. Without further ado, my goodness, please enjoy first episode of the podcast. Today, I am welcomed by Jen Munoz, who went to the University of New Mexico from 2015 to 2018, studying communications and marketing, and then followed her career at the University of New Mexico with a professional career at Club America in Mexico City, signed her first professional contract in summer of 2019, and made over 40 appearances with that team, and also represented the Mexican national team before announcing her retirement from professional soccer in May of 2021. Hey, Jen, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited as well. This is the inaugural Between Clean Sheets podcast episode. And I know we were talking before we hit record that my voice is a little scratchy. So we're going to persevere. I think there's nothing like a little drama to make things a little bit more exciting than I was expecting them to be. So
exactly. You sound great. Don't worry.
Thank you. I know that you now, as someone who's getting into the social media broadcasting marketing space, have told your story so many times, have blessed a lot of podcasts across the country with your personal story, some of your lessons learned, and a lot about your journey from growing up in Los Angeles to where you are now as an adult living in Los Angeles, still existing in the soccer space. I was wondering if you could tell me about your soccer career when you were younger and what it was like in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, actually. I remember, so I grew up in Los Angeles, played there. My dad would throw me into like the Sunday leagues with boys. And I didn't think twice about it. I was kind of like a say yes to everything type girl, like type kid, which is, I'm sure made my dad really happy. Yeah. It was fun. I mean, playing with the boys. And, I remember being in AYSO. And then, as I grew older, my parents would make the drive from LA to Orange County for my club practices, my private training. So that was about like an hour and a half in the car, right after school, just getting in the car, doing homework in the car, eating in the car, going to practice, coming back, you know, doing the same thing and going to bed. So, yeah, I think as a kid, my life was revolved around soccer a lot, but I definitely think without that, I would not be where I am today.
Yeah. I think the story of that kind of travel from one county to another is a pretty popular one, unfortunately, in my opinion, for especially women who grew up playing soccer. At what point, knowing that that's a serious enough commitment that your parents made to accommodate your interest in soccer, at what point in your childhood did you realize this could become a college endeavor or a professional endeavor?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think go for college, I think that was always the plan. Being in club soccer, my parents always tried to put me on a good team to get exposure and, you know, hopefully go to college. And then as far as professionally, I've always, you know, when I was little, wrote down in my little, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I put pro soccer player. So I think that was kind of the mindset. Obviously, in college, I think it kind of went a different route because I started, you know, focusing on, okay, like, what do I want to focus my studies on? What career do I want to take? So I think it kind of got sidetracked a little bit, but then obviously, like, my senior year of college, I really had the option to go pro. So then that's what led me that way as well.
Sidetracked is an interesting word to use because I know you could speak to this so well, that when you're thinking about going from college to professional, that you have to think about longevity, career longevity, and sometimes beyond soccer in a way that men in any sport in America really don't have to. Is the communications and marketing study, was that something that you knew before you went to New Mexico that you wanted to do, or did you decide when you were there?
No, so I actually, as a freshman, wanted to do nursing.
Really?
Yeah, I don't remember why. Super random. Maybe I watched Grey's Anatomy, but I don't know. But I wanted to be a nurse, got into that, realized it's a little difficult. So then it wasn't really my passion. So then I went into, you know, marketing. That was super fun for me because it involved like just like being creative, social media, making like relationships with people, talking to people. Just, it was super fun for me and I loved it. So I think once I got into that, I started looking for potential careers in that. And I mean, I didn't really think about playing pro soccer at all, actually, after or during college.
In the stories that I have read and listened to, it's not that you stumbled into a professional career, but it definitely wasn't at the top of your list, things that you were going to push every other priority out of the way for. Are you glad with the way that it all panned out? Do you think that the timing of your career with how many years you gave Club America was exactly how you would have envisioned it going?
Yeah, I mean, I actually never thought of it that way. But yeah, I think it's it really turned out the way that it was supposed to. I think everything happens for a reason. I'm a big believer in that. Obviously, going into my professional career, I was expecting to play, you know, quite a bit. And then I think as the years went on, that thought of how many years I would play for kind of like lost. I didn't even think about it. I was just in the moment playing. But I think what I gave Club America, like what I gave professionally, was really all that I had. So I think I left that point in my, or that stage in my life, happy. Like I was happy to leave. I was satisfied. I was content with what I did. And it was all worth it for sure.
I love that. That's such a healthy place to be. I think you have seen this, I'm sure. So many people are forced to leave because of injury, forced to leave because of our comments earlier, just the longevity for women's sports in terms of making it a living is just such a difficult conversation. I think that's a great opportunity and a very unique one that I would love to ask you more about, the experience of growing up in America to a Mexican family and then going to play for a Mexican team in Mexico City, which I believe Club America on the men's side is your family, maybe your grandfather specifically's favorite team. So
yeah, it was, yeah. I mean, that was a dream come true for him and myself. He's just my biggest role model. Even when I was little, I think he was like my biggest motivator, my biggest hype man. So I think just like having the opportunity to play for Club America, not even like thinking about, like the opportunity just presented itself and it happened to be Club America. So it was like perfect. I mean, but yeah, I think growing up in a Hispanic family in here, obviously, like, so my parents didn't play soccer, but we were a soccer family. They love soccer. When I went to Mexico, I actually learned more about my culture and I think I embraced it a little more. Just because here in the US, I went to the school where everyone spoke English. I spoke English. A lot of my friends were obviously like Hispanic, white, like all over the place. So I didn't really think about like the Mexican culture at all. Only when like I would go to my grandparents' house and I would speak Spanish with them, but nothing more to it. But then when I went to Mexico, I think I started like learning more about it and learning more about the mannerisms, just all about the culture, which was really cool for me. So that was another thing I took away from I was just learning about my culture a lot more. I think that, I don't know, I think the culture is so beautiful and the people are amazing. Everyone is so nice and so welcoming, although like the language. So when I went to Mexico, I couldn't speak it that well, but I understood all of it. So obviously trying to communicate with people and trying to express my feelings was a little hard, but they just understood and were very welcoming, like I said. And yeah, I think I'm grateful for that. And then obviously the food is amazing.
Yes. My gosh. Yes.
But yeah, I think it was a good overall, like really good transition for me. I think I learned a lot about just like the language and obviously the culture too.
Great. Now, did COVID play any role in the timeline for you and wrapping up your professional career with Club America?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I had COVID. Actually, I was at my very peak. So I thought I was at my best. I remember I was with the national team. It was my first call up with the full team. I came back and COVID happened. So we were all isolated for a few months. I was still working. And then we got back to season. So I went back to Mexico. I was working pretty hard. Obviously, I think, like I said, at my peak. And then I got COVID, but I didn't get COVID for just a week. It was a month. And it was in Mexico. I kept testing positive. Thankfully, the club took care of me, put me in a hotel. It was just a room, obviously. So I think mentally, I was just exhausted. I was like, it was crazy. So coming back from that, I think it really affected me mentally, physically. I don't think I ever like really recovered from that, just like how much it dropped my level and just like my confidence and my mental health as well. So I think that for sure was a little aspect in my decision overall.
That makes perfect sense, actually, the timing, not just of COVID and how it affected leagues across the country and the world, but definitely to experience it firsthand too. And I imagine that was at a time where we didn't really understand just how big of a deal it was. How do you approach training or physical fitness now? Have you enjoyed a bit of a break and want to keep it that way? Or do you still like training pretty hard?
Yeah, I think when I finished, I don't think I touched a soccer ball for 2 months, maybe. I didn't, obviously like worked out, but it took me a while to find out what I actually enjoy and what workouts make me happy. I'm so used to just like working my body for soccer, for the games, for practices. So I think I had to take a step back and realize, okay, this is fun. I don't enjoy this. I'm happy when I do this. So I found out like cycling, like Soul Cycle or like boxing, hiking. And obviously I got back into soccer. I started playing indoor soccer just for fun. And I realized soccer just makes me happy overall, just playing no matter what level, you know, what league I'm in, it doesn't matter. I think as long as I'm playing and I'm on a team, I think that's a big thing too. Whenever I'm in a team environment, right, is when I fell. So I think that's also helped me with my career as well.
Well, and that passion for soccer has translated to some of the career moves you're making now. I want you to tell me a little bit about 110 football and the program or segment that you do with them and how that came about.
Yeah, so I work with 110 football. And thankfully, we were blessed with an all-woman panel talking about Angel City, which is the pro women's team in LA, the first one, which is amazing. It's called Angels Wear Boots. And I'm on a panel with just amazing women, ex-pros, I mean, current pros, sports analysts. They're just really great women. And the fact that we talk about like a women's team is just, it's so fun. It doesn't even feel like work. Like we're just talking about soccer, having fun. And it's just like probably one of my favorite parts of the week. I think that that's really shown me like kind of like what career path I want to. Obviously, like it was super new to me going from soccer to just talking about soccer.
Right.
I thought it was going to be easy, but it's actually really hard.
In what way? I would love to know. I imagine it would be very difficult for me, but that's just because my expertise is in a completely different area. So,
I mean, I think it's just because, so playing soccer, I've practiced that since I was 4. And then doing this, like I've never done it. Maybe I did it a little bit in college, but like I'm not perfect. And I think like mentally, like I still have the soccer mindset where like, I need to be the best. I need to be good. But also like,
right.
I find myself, take your time. You literally like, this is a new career path that you're practicing, that you're starting, like baby steps, you know? So I think it's a lot of patience and a lot of just, I need us to keep practicing and I need to get better. And I'm 25. So I have a goal for myself. By the time I'm 27, I want to be comfortable and competent and just killing it. So
yeah,
that's like how the transition went from like to where I am now with 110. But yeah, it's super fun.
I love that. I think I read, I read it somewhere. That's code for like, I saw it on TikTok. someone said that if you're not cringing at your past content, that you're not progressing. And that perfectionist mentality oftentimes keeps people from making the less than perfect content because they want it to be perfect from the start. But the growth there is what is so important. I will never look back on past videos I've made because it does make me cringe. But in my mind, I like to think, especially the feedback I get from people online, when they tell me that they love what I did, that to me tells me, okay, I'm getting better. Yeah. They like it more. I'm hearing from more people. What's the schedule like for program or show? Do you guys do once a week?
Yeah. So we do it every Monday. I think it airs at 4 and it's live. So it's usually on YouTube. We usually put the links online and everything, but that's Mondays at 4.
I love it, by the way. I think LAFC has done a great job with, and I forget what it was called before they kind of made it this umbrella for both Angel City and LAFC, but it's what I appreciate about it that I think we've lacked in that space is personalities. Yes. And I think that you guys vibe really, really well.
Yeah. Everyone is so different. I mean, and I think that's what makes it such a cool show. It's very genuine. It's very authentic and it's not scripted. I mean, we have stuff we need to talk about, but it's very on our own time, on our own, you know, schedule. So I think that's what makes it organic and just like, so yeah, people that are watching real people, like genuine people be themselves. So
I love that. Now Angel City has been a huge success from a marketing perspective. And I know because your interest is in marketing, tell us from your point of view, what do you think that they've done really, really well? And what can some of these older teams and WSL take from their success so far?
That's a great question. I think that one of them is just the community involvement. Their emphasis is like, they're not just inspiring the young girls in LA, but also the younger generation as a whole, which is huge to me. And I know most clubs do that, but I think Angel City is really just involving every single sport in LA because LA is such a, you know, a sports city. So I think that they're really setting the standard for the younger generation and also just people in the community in general. I mean, LA is such a Hispanic community. Mm-hmm. They do a really good job of incorporating the Hispanic culture as well. Same with LAFC, but Angel City is killing it, I think, in their marketing department. So
yeah, I'm jealous. I think Washington Spirit here, which for those who didn't already know, I should have said this from the start, I'm coming to you from Washington, D.C., Jen from Los Angeles, but Washington Spirit has had the success on the field for the past couple of years and had 7 of our players called up to the women's national team in the U.S., and that is impressive, but it's not something that I've yet seen outward facing in the city. I think there are a lot of folks who wouldn't know that the team played at Audi Field, or there's another stadium that they play out in Loudoun County, which is in Northern Virginia, quite a ways from me. But I think, and I'm transitioning here because I'm thinking of women's sports in general, both in Mexico and in America. Recently, the president of Liga MX Femenil, if I'm pronouncing it right, Mariana Gutierrez, she announced some big plans earlier this year about how she wanted to guide the women's league in Mexico and make sure that they were taking advantage of this rapid growth and growing popularity. Something interesting that she had mentioned was that in a lot of countries, women's clubs are integrated into and very dependent on the men's side. And I know, if correct me if I'm wrong, that was kind of the case for Club America. And I'm wondering, for the time that you were there, what were the pros and cons of that partnership, like sharing the stadium? Did you share marketing resources? Did it feel like a big brother, little sister situation, or what was good and what was not so great about it?
Yeah. So I think, talking about the cons first, I think, so there was, for some games we would play in Azteca, which was the iconic stadium over there, obviously. Mm-hmm. Some games, or most games, we play at our practice fields. So that was kind of one of the, obviously, I think one of the only cons of being with the club, is that during like the big games, yes, we go to the stadium, but like the other games we would play at our practice fields, which is still really nice. But I think we deserve to play every single game at our home stadium, which is a second, right. Like, guys, they definitely treated us super well, very equally. When I was there, we didn't use the same weight room as them. We used another one. Still really nice, but I think now things have changed. They're using their weight, or the nice weight room. So that's a really good change. I'm really happy about that. Same uniforms. As far as marketing goes, we would do autographs with them. So that was really cool, because a lot of the men's players are really amazing players that we all look up to.
Right.
Obviously. But yeah, other than that, it was great.
Now, going back to your experience with the Mexican national team, I know that there are, and I'm pretty sure I read this yesterday during the U.S. women's game in Utah, that there are about 5 or 6 Mexican-American players who chose to play with USA. Was there a big deciding moment for you where you chose Mexico as the federation that you wanted to play for? How did that all come about?
So when I was 18, I got called up to the U20 national team from Mexico. And I think after that, I was just in the pool in the system. So I think that was what kind of led me to Mexico. Also, the U.S. is a really great team, filled with amazing players. So I think it was definitely a lot harder for me to get into that pool. When I was younger, I was an ODP, you know, I was in the youth national teams. But I think as I got older, it definitely got a little harder. So Mexico is probably, you know, not the easiest route, but it was there. So I took the opportunity, and I'm glad I did.
Yeah. I love that the appearance that you had for them also included a goal. So you just wham, bam, went in and did your thing.
My legs are shaking for the whistle even blew, I think. But after the goal, I was like, okay, nice. I deserve to be here.
For that game specifically, was there any sort of memorable pre-match ritual or experience that you had that you think helped, or that is something that you still recall to this day?
Yeah, I think it was probably during halftime. So the coach told me and this other girl to get warmed up during the halftime speech. So we were out there on the field with our trainer, and I just remember looking up at the stands, and there was a guy just waving a Mexico flag, and I just like got the chills immediately. And then I was like, wow, I'm really here. So I started, you know, warming up, and I didn't think about anything else except the warm up. So I took it step by step. And then when the whistle blew, I was like, took a deep breath, and then I let it go, and then I scored.
if we're extracting a deeper meaning here, that approach is A, very mature. So congrats on that. I don't think I would have ever been able to, but B, it's kind of emblematic of your career as a whole, like taking things as they come. And doing a good job of managing them as you are able with what you have and who you are. I'm curious about this second, third, fourth, fifth phase of your life here with content and marketing, broadcasting, et cetera. What is the goal that you have with what you're putting out right now as Jen Munoz, the social media personality? What's your goal with your content?
I would like to be shown as genuine as possible. I don't want my feed to be a bunch of brand posts. I don't want to be considered an influencer, even though, yes, I technically am, but I whenever I put stuff out there, it's because I want it to be put out there, or because I believe in the brand, or I really support it. And like I said, I don't want every post to be sponsored or anything, because then my followers follow me for me. And when I left Club America,
I gained like 7,000, which was surprising. And I got a lot of messages where it was like, we know that you're done with soccer. We were just following you for you, like the person that you are. And I don't know, that really resonated with me. And I just have always thought of that. I'm like, okay, I just need to keep being myself and, you know, show what I'm doing with my life. If I want, if not, I can keep it to myself. So it also takes the stress off of posting and whatever. Cause I do get a little, like overwhelmed when I have to like post like brand stuff. I don't want to like annoy people or like, no, I don't know. And everyone's like, who cares? It doesn't matter. I'm like, it's just me. I don't know. But
no, I'm on the same page. I think, and you recently traveled back to Mexico for vacation, correct? Yeah. First of all, how was that? But second of all, how do you decide when you're there what to share and what not to share about your life?
Yeah. Obviously, I think that I try to be careful with location wise, just because you just never know. I think I did like a little photo dump at the end, just when I was actually I'm currently in Utah, but when I was coming here, just, you know, I don't know. I want to enjoy the moment as well. So I wasn't really posting all day. And I've been really working on that, just kind of like taking the picture and then like putting my phone away and enjoying the moment, which really has helped me mentally too. But yeah, that's kind of like how I go about things. And then, I know a lot of little girls follow me too. So I try to obviously keep it really respectful and not of me going wild, like not that I do, but like you know what I mean?
You deserve to, whether or not you do or post about it when you do. Totally different thing.
I really work with my audience and try to like think about that before I post.
Yeah, that's very smart. My audience, I always joke, is well, I don't joke about this part. It's very serious. It's about 85% male. And sometimes you're like, thanks guys. But also please tell your wives and girlfriends, your moms, your sisters, please follow me so I can balance the scale a little bit.
Wait, same. I would love to post fashion stuff, but no one cares on my followers. Like,
yes. That's a difficulty for me as I transition into this, try to make a living out of it. Who do I reach out to give me, to sponsor me in my endeavors? And I think what I would love are things that are geared a bit more toward the female population and women. But unless I'm doing some sort of content about like, here's what to buy your girlfriend, it's not going to resonate. It's not going to resonate. So that's going to be a fun, we'll have to reconvene at some point and talk about how we're doing on that front. Cause I feel you, but and I only have about 2,500 followers. So I can't even imagine. You've got almost like 250,000 on Instagram alone. So
it's pretty up there. Yeah. But yeah, I'm going to work on that because as much as I love my male followers, I need females.
It's an exciting, but a very interesting prospect to have this like social media space where you can supplement the income that you're trying to do and with the more formal endeavors that you have of either marketing or broadcasting. What do you see for yourself in the next couple of years professionally? And what are you hoping to achieve? What are some of the personal metrics you have for that?
That's a great question. I've actually been thinking about this a lot just because it's been technically a year since I, you know, hung up the cleats and everything.
Yeah.
But I do want to take it not day by day, but you know, little by little, and I'm trying not to overwhelm myself. I think I'm doing a lot right now, but I always want to do more. I always want to find other things that I can excel at. And I just hope to be at a World Cup one day and watching past teammates of mine play on the field, watching Mexico, watching US, I don't know, either country, whatever. And just like being in that moment and, you know, I don't know. I just really, that's on my bucket list. That's my main goal right now. So I'm working towards that, but also, you know, doing other things on the side. I'm, you know, I want to do like camps for little girls. I want to do, I don't know. I just have a lot of things on my mind that I want to do. And I think I have a lot of time to do it, but I also want to enjoy my life. Now I want to travel. And I've realized that makes me really happy. Just, you know, connecting with people, connecting with you, you know, talking to you today. And just, I don't know. I think the way I think about life now after soccer is kind of like, okay, so I did the soccer thing. Now I have one life. What am I going to accomplish in this life? And what am I going to, you know, how many people can I connect with? How many people can I, you know, help me you know, I don't know. It's just a weird concept that I have, but that's, I think that's kind of like my main goal right now, is to be on a sideline at a World Cup or any huge tournament, and then travel and have fun and enjoy life and be happy. Just be very mentally and physically like present and happy.
That is such a great way to end. I do have one more question though. What advice would you give 15 or 16 year old Jen right now?
Really great question. I would say, I would tell her, be yourself. Do not let any other outside forces affect how you think about yourself or make you think less of yourself. Focus on your goals, because what you do at 15 and 16 really matters mentally, physically. And I would just tell her to enjoy your friendships, your family, and try to grow mentally and just relax. and I don't know, I would just tell her to, you know, keep shining and keep bringing joy to people in your life and try to help as many people as possible.
I love that. Well, thank you so much, Jen, for joining me. In the next year, we're going to have you back. I'll briefly watch this, probably cringe at myself, and then maybe we'll come back and we'll do an even better episode to kind of catch us up on all that we've got going on.
Awesome. No, thank you so much for having me. This is probably like my most fun talk that I've had like in the past few
months. No, I know. That was so funny. I was like, you're kidding. Like,
I saw the lesson a minute and I was like,
Oh shoot. We can just like wrap it in. Also, like, your questions are so good. Like,
oh, thank you.
I'm not even like just saying that. Like, I don't know. Like, you ask in such a genuine. Oh my god, am I getting sick? Jesus.
I didn't pass it through Zoom. I did not pass it through Zoom.
The way you like articulate the questions are like so nice and just like comforting and like.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and it makes me want to just like open up more. I feel like I'm in therapy and I'm like, this is great. I'm going to leave so happy. Like, this is amazing.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. I cannot express my gratitude for you to be a part of this very first episode of the very first season of who knows how many episodes and seasons. But I do know that what we did here today was to have a conversation about things that are passionate, that we're both passionate about. And if nothing else, I think it reminds people that there are some amazing humans working in the sports and doing so much behind the scenes and off the field to create a place where we can enjoy the kind of atmosphere that your family has grown up in Mexico and come to appreciate about a religion, really. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate what you're doing. And I'm so grateful for your time today.
Thank you so much. Honestly, it was like I said, one of the best probably talks that I've had in a while. And I'm really thankful that you allowed me to open up about stuff on the field and off the field, which is so important, like you said. Yeah. So thank you so much. I had so much fun.